Please be seated. So maybe in this time, these early days of December, you find yourself busy, getting ready for Christmas. There's so much to do. Trees to be found or set up and decorated. Christmas shopping to be done, gifts to wrap, maybe trips to the post office. Do you have a long to-do list? In our liturgical year, we're beginning the second week of Advent. And Advent is also a time of preparation, though it's different from our Christmas to-do list. In fact, it's not simply about preparing for Christmas, though that's part of it. But you'll notice that these early days of Advent are not focused at all on the birth of Jesus on Christmas. Last Sunday, we heard our lessons call us to actually look not back, but ahead to the future, to when Jesus comes again in glory. We were given the charge to be expectant, to prepare by watching, by waiting, by listening. And this is so we are ready when Jesus comes again at the end of the age. And this week, we still don't hear about the birth of the baby of Bethlehem, but instead, John the Baptist appears, a figure central in Advent. And you notice John does not offer warm holiday greetings. Maybe John's message isn't even merry. John lives out in the wilderness, a harsh place of extreme temperatures, rocks and sand and deprivation. And John does not offer the call to be merry, to be of good cheer, but instead calls us to repent. And so in the midst of our Christmas preparations, our long to-do lists of the society around us saying, be merry, we have John the Baptist calling us to demanding work, self-examination, confession, repentance. And as a mark of beginning a new way of life, John baptizes the people, signifying their repentance and acceptance of God's forgiveness. Now, I don't know what you think about all this, but my suspicion is for us who live in the 21st century, these early days of Advent can be challenging. We maybe don't want so much to think about God's judgment, talk about sin and repentance. Forgiveness, even, is not so popular. Maybe we actually prefer the holiday spirit. Even in recent years in the church, there's been a decided move away from talking about those things with a focus on God's love and mercy, more than our need to repent. I think it reflects that we are not always entirely comfortable in thinking about God judging. And certainly those of us who go to the discussion group at 9 a.m. on Sunday, we multiple times have talked about how hard it is to think about God judging us. On top of that, many of us have left other faith traditions in which judgment was very strong. And maybe where that message of judgment has harmed us, and hurt others. But I don't think John the Baptist wants to hurt us. And so I think it's important to really look at what is going on. What is John the Baptist doing? What is he saying? And the first piece is location matters. John the Baptist is not with all those important people we hear about at the beginning of today's gospel, living in cities, having great power. John is out in the wilderness. And that wilderness setting is so important to the people of Israel. After God frees the people from slavery in Egypt, Moses leads the people through the wilderness for 40 years. It's a hard journey. It's a time of testing. It's a time of great trial. It's also time for nostalgia. The people get missing Egypt. I always chuckle when I hear, you know, in Egypt we had this great food. We had cucumbers. We had leeks. But what about slavery? The people miss Egypt in their nostalgia because they're afraid. And then they, in their fear, rebel against God and worship a golden idol. And so the wilderness is a hard place. But the wilderness is also the place where the people come to understand their need for God. In that barrenness, they come to trust God provides for them. When they are hungry and they have no food, God sends them manna and sends it every day. When they are tired of the manna and complain to God, God sends them quails. When they are thirsty and worry they will perish in the wilderness of thirst, God tells Moses how to draw water from a rock. And over time, they are able to trust God. And so God makes a covenant with them, calling them to worship only God and promising always to care and provide for them. The wilderness is also important to Jesus. After he is baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan, Jesus goes into the wilderness and fasts for 40 days. There he experiences temptations, including what must have been very tempting to him to make bread from rocks. He's hungry. But he doesn't do it. And we're told the angels minister to him. He does not give in to his temptations. And Jesus emerges from the wilderness with clarity, with urgency, a sense of his mission and ministry. So I think it's no accident that John the Baptist is out in the wilderness, away from the important people, the powerful people, the noise, the distractions. The wilderness is a place of stripping away. It can be a place of clarity. There's nowhere to hide in the wilderness, even from oneself. And in that barren landscape, we can see what really matters. We can examine our lives honestly, see truly the state of the world, realize the need for change, for transformation, the need for God. I think it's also important to pay attention to what John the Baptist is saying and what he's not saying. The repentance of John in the Greek is a word called metanoia. Now, you've heard me say that word before. Metanoia is a Greek word that means so much more in Greek than it does in our English, our translation of repent. The Greek means many things. It means to turn around and go in a new direction. It means to reorient one's life. It can mean to change one's thinking or mindset. So metanoia is about a call to give up an old way, to leave a familiar path, and to go in a new direction. It means embracing a new understanding, a new mindset. It's the call to give up ways, behaviors that alienate us from God, ourselves, our neighbor, and creation. And so metanoia is not about saying, oh, wretched me, I'm a terrible sinner. It's not about beating ourselves up. God does not judge us unworthy. God loves us. God always stands ready to forgive us. God longs for us to draw near. We always are beloved of God. I think what John is really calling us to is honesty. John is inviting us to be honest, to confess the ways that we stray from following God, the ways we turn away from the abundant life of God. John invites us to turn toward God, to the ways of God, to accept the life that God intends for us, a life where we flourish, a life of abundance, and to let go of our ways of estrangement and disharmony and disconnection. John actually comes offering good news. Get ready. The Messiah is coming. Prepare. Make room in your lives for God to enter in. If we are consumed by our concerns of daily life, by our to-do lists, by the pursuit of material goods, where is there room for God? If we are so busy that we don't stop and listen, how can we hear God's call? If we never stand still and look at the world around us, seeing the wonder of the created order, how then will we see God at work in our lives and in the world? John the Baptist comes with the invitation to people who long for something more, for people who hope for the healing, restoring power of God. John's call offers a path to life that is meaningful. The repentance he calls for is turning back to God, opening ourselves to God's love and mercy. Repentance is a door to forgiveness, to being recreated in Christ. That requires from us an openness to God's presence, openness to God's activity, accepting the invitation to deepen our relationship with God. And through repentance, we are set free. We can let go of the past. We can let go of whatever holds us back. We can embrace a different present and a new future, the future God intends for us. In our gospel reading today, John the Baptist quotes the prophet Isaiah. Those words that Isaiah speaks, he proclaims to a people who are overrun by a foreign power. Some of the people have been taken into captivity in Babylon. The temple is destroyed, and the people have many questions, chief among them, where is God now? What happened to the covenant that God made with us back in the days of the wilderness? Will God continue to be present to us, caring for us and providing for us? It's to a people who are demoralized that Isaiah proclaims the comfort of God. Their time of trial will end. Their oppression will not last forever. God never forgets the people. And God is at work, acting even now, and God will set all things right. And even the promise that one day those in exile will return home. And when they do, Isaiah says, they will travel through a restored and renewed landscape. The mountains are torn down, the valleys lifted up, the road is level. Travel home will be easy. God will put away all impediments and obstacles, and all flesh, all people will see the salvation of God. All people will know God's power to save and redeem, God's power to restore and make new, to set things right. And so John the Baptist comes to us in Advent not issuing threats, repent or else, but instead offering the mercy and grace and forgiveness of God, of the God who desires relationship with all people. John knows that we do not always live as we ought, that the people turn away from God, that the people also know something's not right in my life, something's not right in our world. So that motivates people to set out to see John the Baptist, to embrace seeing clearly, being honest. And in the barrenness, the people confess the ways they have strayed from God, and they turn to a new path, one oriented to God, and committing to always walking in God's way. And so that's our call too, to prepare, to get ready for the Messiah who is coming, to create space in our lives to receive God, to accept with gratitude the undeserved gift of God's coming among us and welcoming God into our hearts and into our lives. And so John the Baptist indeed calls us to prepare, but has less to do with our to-do lists, less about how we celebrate Christmas, because we are preparing for something more profound. John is calling us to prepare, to be ready, to watch for God to enter in, to make room in our lives for God, because God is coming, and God wants to dwell with you and with me. Jesus wants to be born in us, in our very hearts, as surely as he was born in that stable in Bethlehem. And so John's call to repent is an invitation to acknowledge that we become alienated from God and from ourselves, and to go to the wilderness, to be honest, to name our shortcomings, any sins that separate us from God's love, from one another, from ourselves, and from creation. And then through that repentance, to receive God's forgiveness and God's grace to go in a new way, to follow Jesus in his way of love. And so this Advent, may we heed John's call. May we hear the voice of one crying in the wilderness and prepare a place for Jesus to enter in, for Jesus to lead us to all truth, to follow Jesus to the fullness of abundant life that God desires for us. Amen. Thank you.